All right. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another podcast installment from SpringML on Salesforce. And today we have Phil Cooper with us. How are you doing, Phil?
I'm doing great. Thanks, Matt. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you. And let's just start with a little bit of an introduction. Can you tell us about what you're responsible for over at Salesforce?
Sure. Happy to do it. So I lead what I call the intelligence track for Tableau CRM. So this is product management in the Tableau CRM organization. That's my day job. So this is our machine learning products, Einstein Discovery for reports, and Einstein Discovery in Tableau. You're getting a theme there. Lots of things called Einstein Discovery, and it's kind of consumption pervasively. And then we have a prediction service as well. So sort of arbitrary consumption of predictions wherever you want. And then that's my day job. My evening job is really the data science strategy for Tableau overall, okay, where we're taking machine learning for the broader Tableau organization.
That's fantastic. And I know you've been at Salesforce a while. I'd love to hear, or our listeners would love to hear, like, you know, just what's kind of been your career path and journey here over the years at Salesforce?
Sure. Just over 7 years. And I joined in spring 2014, was watching with interest as Salesforce had acquired this little company called EdgeSpring, mm-hmm, that a couple of my ex-teammates from a prior company worked at. I was staying really close touch with them on what was going on. And I was really interested with the concept of how Salesforce would bring analytics more broadly to the end user who's already in a workflow. So I thought the perspective was kind of unique with the scale of Salesforce. And obviously that's continued to grow since that time. So I followed that pretty closely and then joined to help launch the Analytics Cloud in 2014. Okay. And we grew a kind of forward deployed engineering team for early customers, working with early partners like you guys, getting the field up to speed. And then in 2016, we were getting ready to launch Einstein, as we started the work a couple of years prior in a few different areas of looking at data science. And then that culminated in the launch of Einstein in 2016. So I switched to the Einstein platform team, worked there with the similar goal of bringing this technology and concept to customers and bootstrapping it. So getting going with all our acquisitions and the brand, working really closely with product marketing, product management, engineering, and partners in the early years, the first couple of years of bringing Einstein to market. And then part of that, I moved back to Tableau CRM to kind of accelerate the combination of the broader Einstein portfolio and what we do with TCRM for customers. So particularly moving into different segments of the market, and then switched the full story, then switched to product management, taking over the intelligence team, as I mentioned earlier on.
Okay, cool. And I detect an accent, Phil. How long have you been in the U.S. and where did that kind of come across in the journey here?
Where did the messed up accent come from? I've been in the U.S. for quite some time, nearly 20 years. It's staggering to say that, but I left the U.K. in 2000.
Okay.
And spent a couple of years in Australia, and then about 10 years in Boston, and then moved with a prior company, moved to run our consulting practice on the West Coast.
Okay, cool.
Which is prior to joining a machine learning startup that I was at for a couple of years before I joined Salesforce.
Okay, very cool. Very cool.
The accent's definitely kind of all over the place.
and so it sounds like, you know, I think everybody knows about the Tableau acquisition, of course, right? Kind of, you know, big splash. But you know, from the EdgeSpring acquisition and then quite a few things in between, it sounds like you've probably, you know, had to have your hands involved around some of these capabilities being acquired and how they were getting folded into the overall Einstein platform and AI stack. You know, before we talk about Tableau, you know, anything kind of stick out for you there? Any, you know, maybe interesting stories or advice you might give to other folks based on your experiences kind of, you know, moving through product definition through various acquisitions and such?
Yeah, I think it's all about agility, right? So we move fairly quickly at Salesforce. We're prepared to experiment with things, get them into market, and then adjust. And that, if you look at our strategy, our product strategy, really most parts of the organization follow that kind of approach where they don't necessarily have to have a fully baked concept that's planned out 3 or 4 years in advance. We get things in market, mostly MVPs, and then build on them. So it's, I think that approach generally works well. And sometimes there'll, you know, things get canceled or they get reimagined from the
Sure.
initial concept was didn't meet the market need or what we could execute on, and then things get we adjust.
Yep.
And sometimes that involves moving resources around. Sometimes that, you know, you've noticed Salesforce is very acquisitive. And there are, you know, different flavors where we do small tuck-in acquisitions. Mostly that was how Einstein was bootstrapped, with a number of smaller acquisitions to get technology on board quickly and then get the concept going for customers as fast as we could. Other times we do things like Tableau and MuleSoft and what's coming, subject to closure with Slack, where it's definitely not a tuck-in and it's much more of a strategic investment taking us into maybe a new market, for example. So, but I think reflecting on it, I think the strategy of get capability in market quickly to customers and then listen to them carefully, monitor how the technology is being used and adjust works pretty well. And then we have that advantage, right, of moving pretty quickly on being a pure cloud play, and with the 3 releases a year to adjust course where necessary.
Yeah, cool. No, thank you for that. And so we've alluded to it, the Tableau acquisition, and you've had the chance to play a role as that was coming together and has come together and with the future there. So, you know, I know you can't share all of the nitty-gritty details and secret behind the scenes happenings, but you know, tell us a little bit about the acquisition and your experience through it.
Yeah, look, it's been it's obviously a work in progress, and it was very strategic for Salesforce to extend its reach in data. I think that's what you're seeing with, if you look at the MuleSoft acquisition prior to it, and then Tableau, giving us kind of market permission to extend across the enterprise. So we obviously focused on the CRM user. And that definition has certainly expanded over the years as well. But that's been our mission, is to bring insights and predictions and recommendations in context to the CRM user. With Tableau, we go much broader across the enterprise. And so I think a big picture sort of speaks to Salesforce's investment in consideration of how important data is foundationally. That's been really underscored with the pandemic and organizations trying to accelerate their. You know, we talk a lot about digital transformation, and that's been amazing watching how quickly companies have thrown away the rule book almost that existed pre-pandemic and said, let's go quickly. We now have an imperative. Maybe it's almost existential for some companies. And so I think that on the underlying capabilities there throw off data. You have to understand how you're doing, and the imperative to do good analytics and then to elevate that with machine learning is very clear in the market. So that was sort of the backdrop to it. I think, you know, going back to your question in a little bit more detail, we've had the pandemic. Conversely, there has obviously put an overhead to us collaborating. And so I wouldn't be authentic if I didn't say it's been challenging from perspective not working in the same room together. Because if you look at what the timing of this, when it was announced just under 2 years ago, we announced the acquisition, and then we hit the UK competitive authority, put a hold on it. They put a hold separate order in place while they did their thing and looked at the competitive landscape. And then they approved that in, if I remember correctly, November of that year. So we lost 4 or 5, 6 months at that period where we were literally not able to talk to each other. Then we started that process and then the pandemic hit.
And then that hits, yeah, yeah.
So it's definitely been a sort of, that was a, you know, bringing together two large organizations, understanding cultures, understanding plans and everyone's perspective is much harder when you're not in the room.
Yeah.
So we've made a lot of progress there, but it wasn't straightforward, and it's something that we're definitely still working on doing more effectively. But the plans are really coming together. We've seen a big acceleration in engineering and product teams working closely together. We're shipping things are becoming generally available. So I'm really positive on where the opportunity lies and where it's going. It's just not as fast as I would have liked it to happen.
Well, that I think that echoes for a lot of people, I think, in terms of the experience of 2020. So you know, this is really cool, and so you've had the front row seat right there, and you're right at the heart of product strategy, especially of bringing, you know, some of these more advanced analytics, machine learning types of concepts into Tableau, which, you know, has a little bit more of that just kind of general visualization heritage and stuff. So, you know, as that product strategy is starting to come together, what are some of the most exciting things that you see either recently or on the near horizon?
Sure, then that's exactly right. You know, Tableau came from the mission was to allow everyone to do visual analytics,
yeah,
see and understand data, and Tableau had a unique take on that and technology to make it simple that it built the whole business on, which was pretty fantastic. Focused on an analyst, I'd say, focused on more of a power user.
Definitely. And
Salesforce brings a different perspective because we're catering primarily to the end user in that CRM workflow. And so we've got a really great opportunity there to leverage both of these two things. And so from a strategy perspective, I think you'll see us expanding the audience from that standpoint of who the user is, who's most actively served. And that speaks to your question about bringing data science, machine learning to those experiences. So, and there's a, you know, without sharing too much detail, you've seen hopefully that we launched Business Science earlier on this year. And that concept really is all about taking that classic power user of Tableau and saying things that you could only consume in the past or work that you would typically didn't feel qualified to do, you can now do. So essentially you can do more advanced analytics work and you can train machine learning models to solve different types of problems.
Yeah.
And so you can essentially expand your remit as someone who's familiar with data, who's close to what the business problems are, who's not a data scientist, isn't probably not going to try and write Python or stand up an environment to train predictive models or much harder operationalize them. And so we're doing that. We have the whole cloud infrastructure. We've proven that we can do this. And now we're tapping into a different set of people in the organization that we previously didn't talk to from a Salesforce perspective. So that's one area that I think is very central to the strategy and is encompassed with this term of encapsulated by this term of business science. Another area that it was already both Tableau and Tableau CRM have been investing in for a while is really the augmented analytics. So how do you use data science and machine learning techniques to change the user experience for the end user, particularly for the end user, but that applies to the author as well. So this is an area that you'll see further investment in, where you either do sort of one or two things in my head. You either get to users who wouldn't use analytics in the past because there was an overhead to it.
Yep.
And it wasn't, they're not going to learn SQL or learn a new tool or whatever. They have business questions. Can the machine help the analytics tier answer those questions more effectively in essence? And so you'll see things like Ask Data, Autonomous Insights, et cetera. Yep. So democratizing access, making it lowering the barrier there. And then on the authoring side, how do you, if you're building analytics, can you use machine guidance to do that more effectively?
Got it.
This is an area that's a little bit further out.
Okay.
we do a lot of that in Einstein Discovery today with insight generation. So machine generated insights doing a lot of the heavy lift that a human would do. So that's a kind of acceleration of the analyst's work. So those are two areas. And of course, we'll keep working in from a consumption standpoint. If you're doing bespoke machine learning work or using other tools outside, we'll continue to consume those in Tableau.
Very cool. Yeah, your team's doing great stuff, and it's really cool to see kind of the synthesis and merging of the Tableau culture and ethos from an analytics perspective with, you know, what Salesforce brings for that kind of end user centric perspective like you're talking about. So it's an exciting time. All right.
Absolutely. I think so. Yeah, there's a lot coming. And we're the first step on the road is very much this, what we called Einstein Discovery in Tableau, which is about consumption, right? And that's, I think the way I look at that is that it's a no-brainer to take predictions and put them into the analytics workflow and do that in a number of different ways. But more strategically, I expect customers to start considering use cases that they wouldn't previously have thought of when they said the word Tableau. And they're looking at their business, and it turns out that they have the folks building analytics have that proximity to the business problem and that understanding of data that are really critical to doing machine learning effectively.
Yeah.
So those are critical ingredients that we think we can unlock for our customers, help allow them to go a lot faster, tackle more problems with machine learning.
Couldn't agree with you more. Love it. So last question for you, Phil, we ask all of our guests, what is your favorite analytics use case? And this could be, you know, kind of however you want to answer it, right? It could be something you got to work on yourself at some point in the past. It could be something that you're hoping to achieve one day. It could be something from academia. It could be something like actually very simple, but yet elegant. What would you like to answer as your favorite analytics use case,
Phil? Can I give you two different same question?
Yeah.
So one of them is a bit of a cop out, which is many use cases strung together. So the whole lead to cash. So the entire life cycle can be improved by visibility and by smart predictions. So going from fills in a form on a website and you know nothing about them, through the whole marketing sales cycle to then grow and defend and, you know, nurture that customer from a service standpoint. So you might say that's very CRM centric, and it is.
Sure.
But I sort of think of the whole life cycle as one thing.
Yeah.
And it spans marketing, it spans sales, it spans service. So some customers look at it that way, others look at it much more discreetly in separate pockets. So that's kind of my favorite thing would be, say, lead to cash all the way, and cash being something that you want to then continue into growing that customer relationship in the future. So whether you're predicting churn or propensity to buy more products, or a CSAT or the engagement with the customer, there's lots of different use cases within it, but that's the broader picture. So that would be one, that's probably my favorite at the high level right now. In terms of what I've personally worked on, there was one I think was the epitome of bringing together lots of different data sources, the classic sort of disparate data sources into one place that allowed unique questions to be answered. And this was in an automotive setting, and there were lots of different data assets post-sale in terms of public reports, verbatims, service data, telemetry data from vehicles. All of that stuff was completely siloed in different places.
Mm-hmm.
And then pulling that in one place and putting it in the hands of people making decisions about recalls, how they were proactively go ahead of potential incidents, get ahead of incidents, was a really, it hit the value proposition for the customer was both at a sort of reputational level, that they would reduce the risk of having major issues with where they, you know, maybe have a technical problem, they get ahead of it, that it allowed them to do one-on-one things with accounts and through the dealer network. And then it gave the sort of the engineering and the product teams value as well. because they had a better perspective on how their product ultimately was performing in the market. So
yeah,
the crux of it was bringing together lots of different data, and then some of it was completely unstructured.
Right.
And so in doing some really fun text analytics before you got to interesting features on the data. So that's probably one of my favorite that I've been most closely involved in.
No, that's awesome. Awesome. Thanks for sharing, Phil. It's been great to have you on as a guest and get some of that kind of insider view as to what's going on with, you know, Einstein and Tableau CRM and Tableau itself, you know, all together. So thank you for taking the time out to share today.
You bet, Matt. My pleasure. I really enjoyed it.
All right. Thanks, Phil.
Cheers.